He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? Welcome everybody here to the Lakers Lounge. I'm Anthony Irwin, as always, joined post-game by Roz Chapalu. The Lakers lose game five in San Francisco, 121-106, as they play 5-on-8 for most of that game. And the story of the night, though, coming out of it, winds up being Anthony Davis. He gets hit upside the temple, it kind of looked like, by a Kevon Looney elbow. Was like Looney was kind of like looking to box out, kind of stuck his arm out there on the backside. It was funny, like they were talking about, like they were saying, like, you know, completely inadvertent contact there made by Kevon Looney. It's like, it was, if it was advertent, like that'd be a fucking flagrant. Like, I don't understand how, like, on basically successive plays, you have AD go down with essentially what seems to be with a concussion, and then a couple plays later you have Lonnie Walker holding his face too. And it's just like all game, man. And I wish it wasn't so predictable that like you would get that kind of refereeing. But anyway, that'll be part of the conversation. Like I said, the main story here is trying to stay updated on the latest having to do with Anthony Davis. As of right now, the two main kind of takeaways. One, first and foremost, Chris Haynes saying that AD was taken away from the floor in a wheelchair with a towel over his head. The towel over his head would indicate to me like the sensitivity to light that you get with a concussion. Remember that all too well. And then Darvin Ham though said after the game that AD is already doing really good or is already looking better. So, Raj, like we're gonna try to, you know, talk our way through this one. And I guess we'll talk about the basketball first because neither you or I or doctors, I have way too much, as you guys would probably understand, given the nature of my takes. I have a lot of history with concussions. Like I've had my share of them. Beyond that, though, not a doctor, and I can't even really explain the protocol. So I guess we have to start with the basketball. Like we have to try to talk about the game.
Well, before we do that, I just want to touch, because obviously the AD thing is going to be wrapped around all this conversation, and look, blaming the refs is one way to go about it, and I think that's the conversation that you're going to see for the next few days. I did think though there was a tone set of physicality, like there was a baseline level of physicality that was allowed. And again, this is not to blame. These are individual incidents, but I just thought there was an escalation of physicality that eventually led to some stuff. You talked about the Lonnie Walker getting hit in the face. LeBron drove baseline on one, had four guys on him, wrapped around him, fouled eight times, and finished at the basket, and then flexed after he finished. But it's like, there's no contact on that one either. I thought Wiggins fouled D'Lo on one of the play. And obviously this culmination into fourth quarter, Anthony Davis just gets, I'm not sure if it was exactly the elbow or the forearm of Kevon Looney. And I thought that was just extremely unfortunate. LeBron kind of turned his ankle on one play as well. That wasn't, you know, that's not official, but it looked like he landed wrong. So that's tough. In a game that, like, the reason AD and LeBron are on the floor is because the Lakers played like well enough to where it was close. Like you couldn't throw the exact flag in. And that's just tough. And even that Chris Haynes report where they're like, Draymond's like, you're going to have to call a tech on me before I stop talking. And he just didn't get a tech. Like they just allowed that to go on. And I thought Draymond was fantastic tonight on the floor. Like he was great. He was aggressive. He set the level of play for the Warriors, but I thought like his escalation of physicality increased as well as more and more stuff was let go. He continued to test the boundaries, and I thought that impacted AD. I thought that impacted our offensive game, and we let the refs get in our head a little bit. But yeah, I just want to put that backdrop before we get into the basketball, because I think that's important. The physicality that was allowed, the baseline that was allowed, it created escalation to me in terms of where the game headed. And this was an unfortunate kind of consequence of that.
Yeah, I to me, it was interesting watching this game, and I was also on playback, and I'm, you know, keeping an eye on the game and then on the comment section and then also on Twitter. And it struck me how many non-Lakers people were saying, like, man, this sure is one hell of a whistle for Golden State. You know, like the number of people who were saying, like, yeah, that was certainly one way to referee the game. And like, look, just like I think it was, you know, a wiener move from Kerr to, you know, talk about the Lakers flopping
right
coming out of the last game. I don't want to spend too much time on it because, like, I also think, like, you're talking about the tone that was set with physicality and the way it had escalated from there. I also thought that, like, the way that the Lakers were defending, like, essentially what happens in it with referees is the team that is on defense sets their own tone, sets the expectations for a call, essentially. And like with the Warriors, if Draymond Green starts the game by defending a play a certain way and they don't call that one, then they're going to be looking back on that call from that point forward and be like, well, we didn't call that one. And we didn't call that one.
Right.
We didn't call, I can't call this one, you know? And then, you know, you kind of look at the way that the Lakers were defending, and it was a lot more reaching. They weren't moving their feet as much. You saw a lot more, you kind of missed rotations and some offensive rebounds that the Warriors didn't have available to them in games past. And yeah, like when the Lakers were fouling, it stuck out more compared to the rest of the way that they were defending. Whereas like when the Warriors were fouling every play, and the refs aren't going to call it on every play, certainly not at home in a game the league wants to extend a series in. I was also frustrated by the refereeing, but also like you also kind of have to tip your cap to the Warriors because that is the kind of thing that you have to go into the game with. That idea that sure. Like Draymond is saying, like, you're going to have to fucking foul me out. Like, I dare you to foul me out. You know, it was funny. There was a play. So Draymond picks up his first foul like 20 seconds into the game, right?
Very early. Yep.
Yeah, like 20 seconds in. By the time I was live on playback, Draymond already had a foul, right? And then the first possession that I saw with AD, he dribbles to his left. Draymond slides over, kind of bumps him a little bit. AD, you know, falls away, doesn't get the call. And that was the kind of thing where, like, Draymond's just like, you know what? Yeah, I have a foul, but I'm also not going to change the way that I defend because then I cannot defend this guy. I have no chance.
Right.
And I think the referees essentially, like, responded to that as such. I had a feeling going into this one that it would play out essentially the way that it did, minus the injuries and stuff, right? That the Lakers would do enough to stay attached, not necessarily enough to get out ahead, but enough to stay attached and see if they could make a game out of it. And then if the Warriors made like one too many runs, then the game would be over. And like, that's essentially what we saw, right? Like that's basically sure. what we saw. And you know, this is kind of what you get to a certain extent when you have that approach and you look at it like, yeah, we're going to have game six back at home. Like, just get out of this thing and all of that. Like, yeah, we could maybe put our foot on the pedal here and really go for it. But really, like, you have a game six that you could go back home and win in. And it's like what happens there, though, is that you risk, you know,
yeah.
Game six really is a tense proclamation right now because we don't know if they're going to have AD.
Yeah, that's the tough part. And Anthony, I think I'm just going to move forward as if AD is playing, right? Like worrying if AD is not going to play, that's just a lost cause. You're not winning that game without Anthony Davis. Like you're just,
yeah, it's a non-starter.
We can't even survive 2 minutes without Anthony Davis on the floor. Like we're putting out survival units in non-AD minutes. Like that's what's happening this series. It used to be the non-LeBron minutes. Right now it's the non-AD minutes. He can barely sit, right? So like I'm going to kind of move forward as he is. And tonight, yeah, like I thought we withstood that first punch. I thought the Warriors would swing first, and they did. They went up 12-3, I believe, was the start. They were up 12 very early, but we punched right back. I thought we got in transition. AD got some cherry picking buckets off of like mm-hmm. closing out to Steph, and he got some leak outs. I thought him in the post in the first quarter. I thought he did pretty well, had some jump hooks that went. He settled a few times with jump shots there, but I thought overall, I think he was in double figures in the first quarter. His mid-range jumper was going, and I thought we were aggressive. To me, our defense is what failed us, and that's the disappointing part. I think we were up like 45, 43, and then we end up giving up like a 67-point half to them. And our defense on our screen coverage, our engagement level, like that's the part that sucks about this, is like we went halfway, right? We're like, yeah, let's try on offense, but then defensively, we just fell apart. No adjustment to their screen coverages. We again let AD just get picked in terms of like Steph calling AD up on the screen, and they were able to get a ton of baskets out of that. Wiggins back cut. I thought LeBron's effort defensively wasn't good. Thought D'Lo again was really poor on that end. Dennis, I thought was fine. Austin, I thought was maybe one of our best players tonight, but I thought the defense failed us. We scored enough to kind of keep it close. The Warriors hit, I believe, they had 7 or 8 threes in the first quarter, and then I think they only had like a few early on the third. But our defense on that Steph pick and roll, where we just never recovered. We never switched, and we never adjusted, and we kind of sleepwalked to start the third, and that was kind of game. But yeah, I thought those were the kind of things that, that the Warriors took advantage of tonight.
Yeah, I look, LeBron is 38 years old, and he picked up another little like dang, a couple actually. Like he turned his ankle, and that's the one that he was kind of limping from. But he also threw that long pass to AD, and afterward was kind of grabbing his back too. So clearly, like these playoffs and this run is taking a toll on him too. But like he just has to be better defensively. I don't know how many plays that I watched of him. Like he essentially like what he does defensively. He will go, if the ball's on the left wing, he'll go to the opposite block and he'll just kind of like post up there, right? And the Lakers will put him on guys who stand in the corner so that he essentially can kind of stand there. But if any kind of like exchange happens there or any kind of pin down, anything happens whatsoever, LeBron isn't moving and the Lakers wind up like losing that guy who started in the corner, maybe floats up to the wing, and then somebody else goes to the corner and they're like, tonight he wasn't necessarily even communicating either about like the switch on that, like telling guys like, hey, you know, your guy set the screen, you stay here or you go defend out there, anything like that. It was just, he was just kind of like standing there. And you know, I get it. He's 38. I am 37. I watch chunks of this game with ice on my foot because like I'm 37 and it's like all of a sudden have to just ice stuff randomly because I'm old.
I was so ready to check in the game. I was like, I got you, Darvin. Like, put me in. Let me run.
Well,
me run
I do them. Wish the Lakers had a goon. Like, I still.
Oh, I'm not that guy.
No. Yeah, it's probably true. Yeah, we've met. You're not.
No.
You can.
You gotta criticize my height again. Oh man.
It's not even like height because we're. You know, I think you might be like a couple inches shorter than me, but not much. How much girth behind the eye either? So it would just be kind of like a sad like slap on the wrist.
Yeah,
you take that, one. Draymond.
I'll do a little better than that.
But like I do wish that the Lakers had somebody like this is one way that I know that the Lakers, and I've mentioned this before, but I know that the Lakers have been pretty good because I've been listening to Simmons' podcast again. And he was like, yeah, the guy's like muscle, the Lakers' muscle actually weirdly is LeBron. And I'm like, well, that's not good. You don't want your main guy to be like to be the muscle. Like you want that muscle to be like a PJ Tucker or a Markieff Morris like it was back in the day, or a Boogie or a Dwight, you know, those guys that like if they commit one too many hard fouls or if they like cross that line just a little bit and they get thrown out of a game, you don't necessarily feel it. Like LeBron is never going to put himself in that spot. And like there isn't anybody like Draymond. Every time you play against Draymond, you're always kind of nervous about him, right? Like you always kind of at any moment he might just haul off and punch you. Like just ask Jordan Poole. And I think the Lakers still kind of miss that kind of physicality. The physicality kind of borders on dirty on a game like tonight where like all right, sure, the physicality is kind of escalating a little bit. We're going to stop that right here. Like, you guys are taking these extra, you know, these extra, the extra contact after the whistle. And like, there was the one play that Draymond had the and one on Vanderbilt, like, right at the early part of the game. And he gets, like, right up in his face. Like, that's where he wouldn't do that to Markieff. He wouldn't do that to Boogie. Like, he wouldn't do that to Dwight, you know? And like, that's where, like, if you have that kind of tone setter in terms of physicality and approach to the game, I think the Lakers kind of missed that guy. Too late now to add him, but I do think they kind of missed that aspect of this time of year, basketball in this time of year.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure the exact player there, but again, like, I think I've been saying here on this pod and others, like, you got to meet force with force. Like, Draymond's a guy, you gotta meet him with force right back. And obviously, he was super locked in tonight. I thought his defense, you know, even with the physicality allowed, he stripped a lot of balls away. And if you go soft at Draymond, like, again, using the software, like, if you go soft at Draymond, you're going to get packed at the rim. There was one play before AD got hurt, I think, like, he double clutched. Did you see that one where, like, he was at the rim and he kind of double clutched at the basket and Draymond blocked him? And that's the stuff, like, Draymond's going to get you if you try to be cute at the rim. And I thought we tried that a lot. You saw D'Lo's drives as well, trying to, like, maneuver around contact instead of through it. I thought Austin as well, and some of those, LeBron trying to get the call. And this was just not that type of night where you were going to get that. So, yeah, you had to kind of meet the force with them. And I thought we were at least close enough to make a run. There's a reason why Darvin didn't throw the flag. I thought, like, we were right there. It was like a 10-point game for, like, 8 minutes, I could swear. It was, like, right there at 11, 10, 11. And they just kept, like, it was a Schroeder three, a Lonnie Walker three. Just terrible shot selection on the other end. And, yeah, I wish we came with a little bit more urgency there. You talked about LeBron. I thought AD as well. Just, he has the biggest gap to me in terms of his engagement on defense versus when he's – and he's still good, right? Even when he's going through the motions, he's still a good defensive player.
Well, he has, like, the highest ceiling of anybody who has ever played.
Yeah, and it's not – it's and it jumps off the page when he's doing what he's doing. And, look, the Warriors did a nice job. They were consistent. They didn't go back to their motion stuff. They ran a bunch of pick and rolls tonight. Don't know the exact number, but it feels like more than they even ran in game four. Steph continued to call guys up on the screen. And, again, I thought we overreacted a little bit on Steph coming off of those. Like, if Andrew Wiggins is going to shoot a bunch of times contested, I think you kind of have to live with that. You just can't go for his pump fakes to now he's getting to the rim, getting downhill, getting to the line, and getting their, you know, wheelhouse going. But there's things to clean up. It's just so hard to, like, get into that while Anthony Davis is in, you know, this limbo of if he's going to play or not. But, like, there's nothing I saw tonight where it's like, oh, the Warriors figured something out. You know, like, that's not the vibe I got from this game. Like while I was watching it, like, I felt a little bit about that in game two. I was like, oh, they kind of figured something out with the small ball. This one here, I felt like this was just us kind of going through the motions on a lot of the possessions before finally it got to garbage time. But yeah, hopefully, you know, he's good to go in game six. If we can take that one.
So, this video is making the rounds, and I've seen some of it, and I've seen some of the quotes from it. So, like, okay, I guess we'll play a chunk of it. This is Shaq and Charles after the game, talking about AD.
Woozy trying to get off the floor, and we will see what his status is for game six of this series. Kenny?
Yeah, well, I wasn't expecting, honestly, you know, I wasn't game five, six, whatever it is, the Lakers to win tonight, because both teams, Lakers and Golden State, they've been inconsistent all year. They haven't been able to string together games that you go, this is a game they should win. This is how they should get it done. So, you know, game six, these guys, man.
I think I do too, but what are you laughing about?
You know what they're laughing
at. I'm laughing at Chuck.
Shaq, I know what they're laughing at. Shaq, you understand?
Shaq is over there crumbling up paper. That's why I was laughing. I'm laughing at Chuck.
Come on, tell the truth.
They understand.
Come on, man. Stop it, man. Ernie, don't let us go there. Because if we go there, it'll never stop. It'll never stop.
Ernie, we need to go to that next game quickly.
No, we don't.
Oh, man.
I'm laughing at Chuck.
Well, tell me, give me your takeaway from the game, Chuckster.
There's nothing points in the first half. You're not kidding. What are you doing?
I'm sick, fixing my seat. I'm fixing my seat.
What is kidding?
I'm fixing my seat. What? I did not do that.
You're fixing your seat.
I did not do that.
It's embarrassing.
Man, guys, come on now.
Oh, come on, man. I'm just saying, nothing surprised me. They gave up 70 points in the first half. They were playing this game like, okay, if we can win it, we can win it. But obviously, you can tell.
What they were laughing at the entirety of that time was like AD being like the report that they went back to the locker room and AD had to take a wheelchair out of that game. Laughing at head injuries. Given everything that we've known as a result of watching NFL players over the years, and what's happened to like boxers over the course of the years. Look, I've said it. I have my experiences. I've had my experiences with concussions. I've been knocked out with basketball once, boxing a couple times, soccer a couple times. I've had like migraines my entire life. I will have mornings where I wake up and you get this like you get this thing where you get like flashing lights. You know, if you look into a light and you look away from the light, you see like you still see the light,
right?
There, you know, and essentially it's that, and it just kind of like starts out here in the peripheries of my vision, and then it'll like make its way to like to the, you know, it like into my actual vision. And if I let it get there, it means I'll have a migraine that ruins like 2 days, like 48 hours. I'll have a, and it's a result of concussions.
Okay.
And this is the kind of shit that like we're fucking mocking. This is the kind of stuff that we're, Shaquille fucking O'Neal, Mr. Company Time, is mocking somebody like leaving the court with an injury. This is what we're fucking talking about. Charles, zero rings whatsoever over the course of his fucking career, is sitting here mocking somebody like for who has a ring. This is fucking like, this is the state of NBA analysis. This is the top platform on for the sport. This is the show that represents the league night in, night out. This is, you know, and look at there at its height, this show is great. Like the NBA Tonight or whatever it is, TNT, like that show is really good. It is, you know, it's really funny when they don't talk about basketball. You know why? Because they don't know fucking dick about basketball in this era. They don't know anything about it. Those guys have been lost for like 73 years and they just keep collecting their paychecks for it. That's gross, man. Like, I understand, like, AD has his reputation and stuff, and he does, like, it takes him a long time to get up anytime he has any kind of contact, whatever. But the guy is probably actually concussed, and he has a potentially, like, narrative-altering injury here that he, more than anybody else on the face of the planet, is frustrated about. And these motherfuckers are sitting here mocking him for it? Get out of here, man. Get the fuck out of here.
That was my language. No, you're good. That was disgusting television. I mean, that, like, I think the inside, they're good at what they do, but just like you talked about, that's not basketball analysis. Before I continue on that, I just want to read the Chris Haynes quote, tweet that just came out. Early diagnosis indicates Anthony Davis appears to have avoided a concussion and is doing much better now, league sources tell NBA on TNT Bleach Report. So that's Chris Haynes just now. That was just disgusting, you know, from both of them. And that kind of speaks on the reputation AD has, right? Like, I mean, you look at the NBA, you know, all NBA team getting no votes on the all defensive team. He has this, the reputation kind of precedes the, he's injury prone, street clothes, which I think was a term that was, you know, started on TNT, if I remember correct, the street clothes, Anthony day-to-day Davis, all that bull crap that like gets thrown on him. And this is part of it, right? His injuries get put into such the strangest light. People become extremely strange when Anthony Davis injuries come about. So no, that was just disgusting TV, just from Shaq and Charles. And I don't know if Kenny and Ernie were trying to be serious there. I couldn't really tell from that video. It's just nasty television from both of them. That's unacceptable from, like you said, our leading viewers on for NBA coverage is on the TNT show. So just nasty television.
Yeah, as Alexis points out, Chuck started the whole like street clothes mantra with Anthony Davis, and like, man, I'm gonna like try to avoid not getting in trouble, but the NFL is like a monster right now, right? And it is presented in such an immaculate way, it is literally killing its players, and you would not know it based on the way that it is covered and the way that it is like offered up to the public. And you know, you listen to former players talk about current players, and there are certain places that like former players won't go, especially as it pertains to injury, because they know like how hard it is to compete in that league. And for a couple former players to sit here and generate a reputation for a singular player for, you know, not being able to play without taking into account like how much harder he plays on both sides of the of at least one side of the ball than either of those guys ever did. Like Shaq, like the whole reason the Warriors would have a chance against the those like three-peat Lakers is because Shaq didn't care about the pick and roll. Like Damon Stoudemire used to rip the Lakers apart. He's not a Hall of Famer. Imagine what Steph would do to Shaq there. And it's because Shaq was too fucking fat and didn't take the sport seriously enough to stay in shape. That's why Kobe hated him. That's why Kobe got him out of there. You know, it's just like it really bothers me that a couple of guys who understand better than any of us what it takes to stay on a basketball court at that level would go out of their way with this guy and make an entire joke about his body at some points failing him. Like that's worth laughing about to you? Like that, I've never gotten the sense when AD has gotten hurt, I've never gotten the sense that he's like pulled a hammy and he was like, nope, can't go. Sorry. Yeah, no. Every time AD has gotten hurt recently, it's been like landing on Gobert's foot. It's been getting an elbow from a 6'9", 250 guy to the temple when you're not expecting it. And this is the kind of thing that you're mocking with him? Like, I'm sorry, man. Like, Shaq has his jersey in the rafters, has a statue, all those things. And his impact on the Lakers is beyond question and all that stuff. But that right there, like, you cannot do that. You can
no.
That is just that's just gross. I'm shaking. I probably should move on here and talk about something else. But these guys are just like it's so wrong for people who understand what it takes to stay available to mock somebody, to do those things, have freak injuries, and not be available because of the freak injuries, and not ever take into account that it's freak injuries that are making this guy not available.
Well, that's the point right there, right? You just said they understand what it takes. I feel like not all of them. There's some really good ones like Legler and other media personalities who've kind of switched to the media side, have done a good job kind of blending both. But it just feels like a lot of like, and this is a larger conversation, but a lot of players that move to the media, they kind of forget the player side. You know what I mean? Like kind of convert fully into media. You see like a lot of takes that come out, especially even on like Kawhi Leonard's injury, right? Calling it whatever they want to call it. I know Stephen A. Smith was the one that was like, he should retire. But, you know, there's just a lot of extremes that go on. And you know, Charles Barkley, Shaq as well, are guys who just call out players. And AD has been a victim of this for a long time. This isn't just tonight. This is kind of a continued thing on him. But I feel like a lot of players, you'll see, like, you see the analysis on it. It's just like, that's not something a player would say. You know what I mean? Like, even the Draymond going at Dylan Brooks, right? And that was funny. That was great. Like, that was great for what it was, but still it's like that's player to player, and usually there's like code of ethics usually between a player to player, and those are lines that are being broken. Well, the
reason that line was broken was because Dylan broke it. Like Dylan sure. goes out of his way to push that line and step over that line, and then finally, like, yeah, it is kind of a self-policing thing, but the thing is like the reason so back when I was growing up, you used to have a lot more interaction between players and that show. You used to have a lot more, like, there was a lot, players were a lot more interested. And like, part of it is because, like, with social media, these guys have developed their own platforms and they have their own things that they don't need TNT necessarily to go out there and get their voice heard. Right.
Sure.
But when I was growing up, you had, especially like when Shaq was fresh out of the league and the guys that were still playing had more respect for him, you had a lot more guys willing to go and talk to him, right? I remember like Dwayne Wade and Chuck had like, there was an entire commercial run from the, I think it was Sprint, back when they had like your Fave Five, that like, right. if you texted those people, it didn't cost you any money, right? and Chuck and Wade had their thing back and forth. But like the reason, part of the reason, on top of like the social media and these guys developing their own platform, part of the reason that like players want nothing to do with these people is because of shit like that. Like that crosses a line. You're talking about a legitimate potential injury, right? And now, yes, Chris Haynes is saying that he avoided a concussion, and let's all knock on wood that that is actually the case. And 100% like prayers up that AD is fine and avoided a concussion. But they didn't know that when they were laughing at him. And again, like concussions have killed people, dude. Like Junior Seau killed himself and saved his brain so that they could study it because of the stuff that concussions did to him. Like multiple football players over the years have done super violent things as a result of CTE. This is not a sprained ankle that you didn't think he didn't tweak it that much. This is stuff that is legitimately life altering. Like again, I could bring Jen here and she could put you through like the experiences of living with me when I go through my shit because like I cannot father for like a couple days because I didn't take Excedrin enough time because of what concussions plural have done to me. And like to think that they're sitting there and mocking this guy and they're saying, you know, because it was like a quote unquote glancing blow that he took. You take a fucking glancing blow from a 6'9", 250 person. There's no such thing. There's a glancing blow to the temple from somebody built like Kevon Looney is an oxymoron. That does not exist. So like, what are you talking about, you morons? Yeah. You fucking imbeciles. What are you doing? All right, let's talk. Let's get back to the game.
Disgusting segment from TNT. Do better.
It was gross. It's really gross. All right, let's try to. We're 30 minutes into this, and we haven't really talked about like the basketball aspect of this. And again, like you said, I'm glad that you mentioned that Haynes thinks and is reporting as of right now that AD has seemingly avoided a concussion potentially, hopefully.
Right.
The basketball itself. I wanted to bounce this off of you. I don't think the Lakers can start Vanderbilt next game. I think they have to go with Walker right from the get go. And either Walker or Rui. But I think Vanderbilt, like you see it now, and you'll see this like with like where the ball rotates over to Vanderbilt and he's open there in that corner. And every Laker is like, oh, man, please make it, please, you know?
No, for sure. And look, the Vanderbilt stuff, they might start Dennis or Lonnie in, you know, in game six. We'll see. I don't think like that's a major issue to me. I think he's like fine what he's doing. I think the thing is, I thought we switched off. We had AD on Wiggins, and then as they kept coming up to screen, I thought we just never adjusted to their rescreening. We didn't communicate on those. But yeah, like they might move the starters. I just thought tonight our, you know, effort level on defense and adjusting to their screen coverages wasn't right. I wouldn't make a quick change there. Like if Vanderbilt's not playing well, I think you can sub him. I think like starting Dennis and starting like the three guard lineup. I don't know. I don't think we have to really adjust too much. They're going to continue to start Gary Payton. And I thought our coverage on him as well was smart. We didn't have AD on him. They had him on Wiggins. And if Wiggins wants to be the screener there, Anthony, I'm not mad at that. Like, I thought we overcommitted. I thought, you know, we let Wiggins kind of get loose or Steph kind of get loose going downhill. And it's what you talked about, right? I think Steph had 18. He had like 15 points and like 9 assists, right? And like, mm-hmm. It's the assists that kill you. It's not the 30 points from Steph. It's him getting like the 9, 10 assists. And all that is because we overcommitted to him on the ball screen. And he got the pass to Draymond. And Draymond was a lot more aggressive offensively. And maybe Home does that, maybe hitting a
three-pointer. Best offensive game that he's played in like years.
So long. And that,
I have not seen that game from him in a while.
they got a GP2 3 and a Draymond 3 very early. And I was like, oh man, that's a bad omen. Like you get those two threes very early. That's not great. The Vanderbilt stuff, like I think the Vanderbilt threes aren't like good process. I think they're just low energy offense. You need some low energy offense sometimes. Like for the Warriors, it's the GP2-3. But for us, it's the Vanderbilt 3. We're like, okay, like we have nothing. Mm. Nothing's going. Let's kick it to the corner to Vanderbilt. And his job actually there, like in our regular, we're all locked in, right? Go watch Memphis game 6. Vanderbilt's not like taking spot up threes. It's like, okay, who am I dribble handing this off to? Austin's curling. Yeah. D-Lo's curling. Like we're aggressive. Tonight it's like, I'm open. Let me like aim this three. And let's see if this goes in, right?
Especially on the road. Like, that's something that, like, going into the game, somebody's got to say to Vando, like, hey, when you're open, like, here, especially because, like, he's not, it'd be one thing, I would actually prefer it if, like, at 3 seconds left in the shot clock, that pass makes its way out there and Vanderbilt is wide open there. And it's like that Stu Lance attempt that, like, you don't think about it, you just shoot it. But when there's like 7 or more seconds left on the shot clock and he's shooting that, you know he can sense it. The entire time the ball is good, like the whole way he's going up, he's like, please, 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 please. And no, you know, it's just none of it feels very confident. And like I said, it's one thing for him to not feel very confident, but it's also pretty clear that the other guys on the court don't really feel confident. You know, that like when he shoots it, or not even when he shoots it, the ball makes its way out to the corner and everybody sees him wide open and it's clear he has to shoot it. That's when everybody's kind of like, everybody's shoulders kind of sink. It's like, please go in, please. You know, and they're like he is aiming the ball into the basket and everybody's kind of like willing the ball to get close to the basket. I think if he plays, maybe you attempt one of those early, but from that point on, if you catch the ball with any more than like 7 or 8 seconds left on the shot clock, you look to create a dribble handoff off of that action. You cannot have these sunken, because look, the Warriors are like, they were desperate tonight. They were desperate the last game. They're going to be just as desperate the next one. Like, it's not like they're like, all right, cool, we won this one, we didn't end our season at home, we're good here. Like, no, game 6 is going to be a fucking war. It's going to be an absolutely brutal game. And I don't think you can have multiple possessions that end in like a Vanderbilt 3 with 7 to 9 seconds left on the shot clock.
Also, the other issue is that Vanderbilt 3 gets them out in transition, right? So it's a long rebound, long 3, long rebound, and usually gets them running. And that's where you really get in trouble. But the difference to me in game 6, like, we should also be desperate. Like, that's our desperation game.
Oh, yeah.
That's our game 7, right? And I think the Lakers will come out as such. It's, you know, it would have been nice to close it out tonight. But, I mean, that's why the lines were where they were, right? The Lakers were, I think, 8-point underdogs tonight. So, you know, Vegas pretty much thought this is how it was going to go. But, like, I think Vanderbilt, the reason he's out there is because he's more switchable, right? Like, we're able to switch more of those screens. If we have Vando on Draymond or Wiggins, like, if it's a Steph screen, you can switch that. AD can still stay in the paint. And we did a better job, I thought, in the second half, like, pre-switching, where, like, AD is out on Steph, and then they run it. He's trying to run around, and he switches with, like, Vanderbilt. So there's things we can do. It just, I felt like our, you know, like game 4, obviously, we treated that as like, no, we got to get this one. Like, AD, go on Wiggins. Next play, we're switching. Next play, we're not. Like, I thought we were really locked in. And then you saw that third quarter, Anthony sleepwalking. The Warriors went up like 16. And I thought that kind of ended the game. But I would keep Vanderbilt out there. To me, Rui, like, it's hit or miss. We're still putting Rui on Clay. Like, that's a purposeful thing we're doing. I don't understand it. It's working. Like, it worked tonight, I guess. Clay didn't get loose, but that's just, to me, that's asking for trouble. That's bad process. That's a, you know, that's terrible medicine to take, to put Rui on Clay Thompson and just, you know, spin the wheel. Or is it Russian roulette? I think that's what it's called. Like, we're you're leaving it up to chance, kind of thing. So I don't like that at all. I don't think this is a Rui series. I thought he played okay tonight, and we'll see, man. The role players play better at home. I thought they got good minutes from GP2. Jordan Poole hit like a spot up three for them, so hopefully that turns. But would you start Dennis for Vando, or would you go straight with Lonnie if they were going to make a change in that starting lineup?
I would choose between Lonnie and Rui. And I would put Rui. So you have Austin guarding Steph, right? And you've had D'Lo guarding Clay to this point, And then from there, you have, I would put Rui on Wiggins. Or I guess they've had AD on Wiggins, huh?
Right. I worry about the foot speed of Rui in that lineup.
What's that?
I worry about the foot speed of Rui, right? With every Steph screen, he's going to involve whoever Rui is guarding, basically. Yeah. Like they're doing now with AD. They would just change it to Rui, right? Like, why bring AD involved when you can bring... Well, I guess maybe it would still be AD.
Well, because the point of bringing AD up and making him and putting him in that stuff is to get him away from the basket.
Right.
So, yeah, like, I don't think that would change. Like, I think they would continue to do that. But
then you have Rui chasing around, right? So Wiggins, Clay, running around all those off-ball actions. That's a lot for a big body like him to be chasing. I don't know.
I just think Vando is hurting you. Like, at one point tonight, Vanderbilt, like, he finishes a plus-minus. He was a minus 16, but at one point in like 8 minutes, he was a minus 19. And it's so hard to play offense when, like, already more often than not, Schroeder's probably going to be on the court. He doesn't really space the floor. LeBron's going to be on the floor. He doesn't space the floor. AD doesn't space the floor. And then you add to that Vanderbilt. It's a lot to, especially like game six, like, I don't think it's going to be a march to the free throw line. It's not like they're going to call a whole bunch of touch stuff. And when Vanderbilt is out there and they don't have to guard him and that contact is happening in close proximity and it's harder to pick up who actually commits that foul. Like, that's where sometimes referees will just kind of like, I don't know, like, they're all slapping at the ball,
Yeah.
I think Gavin saying Malik Beasley is gonna.
Oh no!
Look, man. After seeing what Lonnie did, maybe, but I don't necessarily see it myself. But yeah, I could see Ham more likely going with Lonnie. But I also think, like, if you want to maintain some of your identity. I personally would go with Rui. I would go with Rui.
Yeah, my only other, like, I think Rui played well tonight as well. He's not even getting shots up. So he's, since game two, he's taken two threes and, like, in his minutes, in like 20 minutes, and they're closing out a little harder on him. And his shot isn't like a quick release. You could tell he's pump faking and trying to drive, right? And they're kind of ready for that. There was one play I thought he was going to get a charge on Jordan Poole. Like, you can see the flop coming from 3 miles away. I was like, it's like, watch out for the charge. And he got the layup on it. But yeah, like, I just don't think you're gaining as much spacing, like, theoretically as it would be. And I just think the foot speed between Vando and Rui is massive. Maybe helps you on the boards a little bit. Offensive rebounding too tonight. I just thought, like, there were so many plays where we're just watching the ball, like, as it comes up, and Wiggins and GP2 and Kevon Looney are aggressively attacking the offensive rebound. I thought that was another thing that we really needed to clean up. There were so many plays where, like, we played excellent defense for 23 seconds, ball gets tipped right back out, and it's an open three for them. And I thought that, I thought that hurt us, but I just don't see Darvin adjusting already. I didn't watch tonight and think, oh, we got to switch up a lot of stuff. Like, I thought this was more our self-inflicted kind of damage of how we defended. So, but if Rui, I think Rui's a part of this series. I don't think he played, like, I think 11 minutes in game one. But other than that, he's been playing. I thought he's been solid. But I would keep the same, like, lineup. And then I think the lineup he trusts the most, Anthony, and yeah, like, you can tell when a coach, what he goes to when, like, you have a chance to come back. And he went to the D'Lo, Austin, and Dennis with LeBron and AD. And I think that's his favorite lineup. I think that's his, like, favorite pitch for a baseball term, I guess. But, like, I think that's, like, what I think. Yeah. Pitch, yeah. Yeah. Fastball or whatever.
My best pitch is a curveball. But, boy, do I like throwing the fastball.
Yeah, no clue how that works, but yeah, like, I think that's his, like, favorite lineup. That's obviously not going to start, but I think that lineup's gonna get a ton of minutes. And then I think we're gonna have 40 minute AD, 40 minute LeBron in game six to hopefully close this one out.
Yeah, I to your point, coming into it, I would not have told, like, had I, like, heading into the game, I wouldn't have said, like, there's nothing I would have seen or I could possibly see in this game that would, or there shouldn't be anything that I would see from this game that I would, like, change anything in the Lakers' approach, mm-hmm. right? Because this was a game the Lakers probably weren't winning anyway. It's just so, it's one thing for the defense to kind of, they have to ignore somebody. They have to move off of somebody. And the Lakers in other games have done better at, you know, utilizing him even though the Warriors are ignoring him, right? And the Lakers have, you know, he hasn't done that stuff and the Lakers haven't done that stuff as much. So, like, to that, to your point, that's more of a process thing. But to me, the difference now a couple games into this is watching the rest of the guys' reaction when he catches the ball there. We're like, man, we worked our, we got into the paint, we kicked it out, we rotate to the corner. Fuck. Like, damn it. It's, you know, it's, and again, it's no fault of Vanderbilt. That's just not, like, he's not a shooter, you know? And there are things that he brings to the table, but he's not helping you much on the offensive glass. He's not, like, he's not defending Steph in the way that he did in game one. So I don't necessarily really know as much what Rui is doing. And like there's definitely stuff on the backside and rotating stuff that doesn't involve, like, actually touching the ball that he's probably really helping with. But, like, I just don't think that stuff is enough to essentially sink, like, the beginning of your game.
Yeah, I mean, like, to me, the correct read is not to kick it out to him, though. You know what I mean? Like, to me, that's not the correct read. Like, he should, like, it's either him cutting and, you know, he's been bad bobbling passes, but, like him just standing there, if LeBron's going downhill and he's at the basket, a lot of those, like, he's just kicking out. And I think some of those are, like, the lack of aggression early in games. But, like, to me, Vanderbilt taking the actual shot, it was like, not to compare it, but it was like when, like, even when Dennis shoots those open threes, it's kind of like, they go in sometimes. I just never believe they are. Like, Dennis Schroeder threes also are ones where I'm like, all right, good shot. You know, like, after it goes in, it's not like, oh, that's a good process shot. So both of them, and I think to your point, though, when Dennis and Vanderbilt on the floor together, that's when you have issues, right? Like, that's when it's really tight. Your spacing's really clogged. That's why Dennis holds the ball so long in those possessions, because it's like there's nothing really open and we're like screening for him. That's the stuff where I like Dennis and Rui together, but I think Vanderbilt starting is fine, and I think we should be fine in game six. I wish we were a little bit greedy tonight, Anthony, but we didn't come out with that. So I would keep Vanderbilt. Again, if he's not playing well, if it's so detrimental to where no one else can shoot and he's, like, being left open and he's taking the shots, then, yeah, sub him out quick, put in Dennis, put in Lonnie, who, you know, I thought Lonnie was fine. I thought defensively he was fine. Missed his threes. Obviously didn't have the barrage of scoring in game four, but I thought he was okay. But we'll see if he sticks in the rotation as well. I don't think Beasley's playing. I'm sorry. Beasley's not getting in this game.
Yeah, I think it's still the same eight guys, you know, that the Lakers have been playing with. You know, you look at their minutes totals. You have the starting five, and then you have Rui, Schroeder, and Walker all above 20 minutes. It's still going to be those same eight guys. And look, like, the Lakers approach this one, and this is the one thing that like the guys on TNT did say that I agreed with, right? In that clip, Chuck was basically trying to say that, like, yeah, it was pretty clear these guys played this game with game six in mind, knowing that they could go back and, like, the Warriors were the desperate team and the Lakers were the team that, you know, looked at this as, you know, maybe, but probably not, you know, and, you know, the game played out as you would expect that kind of approach to game to play out. Now, though, like, it was nice waking up on a game day and just kind of, like, stretching and, you know, whatever happens tonight, you know, should be all right. It's still, you're playing with house money. If you win, cool. If not, like, you do have game six. Game six, though, like you said earlier, Raj, this is game seven. Like, this is it.
Did you feel that way though once the game started? Like, yeah, maybe you woke up with the like, yeah, it's house money. But once the game started, did you feel that way? Like, I didn't. I was thinking like, this should, like, you should go and get this one. Like, why even put it on the table? That's why, like, it probably didn't matter. But like, Chris Haynes coming out with the report that a prominent Laker player said those expletive can stop complaining. I'm like, why? Like, why even throw any dirt on, you know, any gas on the flame? Like, why even let that go? But
that was definitely LeBron. That was definitely LeBron.
Okay, I'm not sure who it was, but sure.
Like, if it was anybody else, right? The name would be thrown out there, you know.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, it's just weird to throw that out there before you win. Like, the Warriors aren't the team to play with, right? Like, that's not the team to, like, give them the bulletin. Maybe it didn't matter at all, and I'm sure Draymond would have been fired up already. I'm not surprised if that, like, turned up the notch a little bit on him. So, but yeah, like, I just didn't like, you know, that to start the game. But, yeah, we'll see in game six.
You know what I would kind of like to see? You know what I would like to see? I'd like to see, like Draymond starts all of these games by like, essentially picking up a foul, and it's a matter of, like, whether or not they call it. Mm-hmm. I want to see AD, like, somebody drives to the basket, and if he can't quite get there, you know, and it looks like he's going to commit a foul anyway, maybe go an extra step, and maybe, like, really remind him, hey, yeah, I weigh like 50 pounds more than everybody else out here, you know? Like, I would like to see, like, usually the tone setting play for AD is the dunk in traffic with two hands that now people on playback are like watching for now. It's like AD needs a dunk. AD needs a dunk. I think he needs one of those too. But I also think all of AD's fouls have been the kind where, like, you look after it, like, really, you're calling that one? You're calling that one? And I would kind of like to see, I would kind of like to see one of those fouls that, like, yeah, that was a foul. Yeah, that was a foul, and they earned those free throws. I would kind of like to see that from AD. That's a really important part, I think, of being, like, the last line of defense is when you're driving to the basket, yeah, there's a real good chance that you're going to get embarrassed and you're going to get your shot blocked and all that stuff too. But there's also, like, a 5 to 15% chance you're just going to get your ass kicked. Like, there's a fight.
100. And B does this a lot, right? Like, where dudes will try to draw a charge, and he'll, like, he'll absolutely make sure you got every bit of that contact, you know? And he'll even look at the ref, like, really? When, like, it was a full-on charge with, like, you guys full, like, elbow going. Like, the dude's just knocked out on the floor. Like, yeah, if you're gonna draw a charge on me, you're about to feel every bit of this. And I agree. And I've said this when the series started. I was like, you gotta meet force with Draymond. Like, go through his freaking chest. And there was a play in game three, right, where, like, I think we reviewed it. I don't remember game three or four, where, like, it was a charge, but, like, we reviewed it and I think we got overturned. I don't give a crap if it's a charge. Go through his chest, make him feel it, right? And I thought Draymond was never uncomfortable tonight. We try to beat him again with finesse, with skill, which AD has. He has it all on his bag. But sometimes you just got to run a dude over. Nothing dirty, nothing malicious to harm or anything like that. Just to kind of, like, yeah, I'm 6'11", and, like, if you're going to stand here, this is what it feels like. And I thought we didn't do that. LeBron as well has ability to do that too sometimes, where he used to do this earlier a lot when obviously he had the legs, where, like, if you drew a charge on LeBron, it looked like the most painful thing in the world. It looked like a train hit you. And he looks unbothered, right? And sometimes they'll even get the foul. I remember watching, like, when we used to play him, like, he'd run through our dudes like a skinny Brandon Ingram is standing there, gets mauled up to, like, the crowd, and they're like, and one. You're like, and one. Like, he got elbowed, like, to the side. There's some of that we should try to involve as well.
Yeah, the approach to this next game, and we have 48 hours to think about it, is going to be of the utmost importance. Again, continuing to monitor the Anthony Davis situation. It seems like if they're saying that he avoided a concussion, that he would seemingly avoid concussion protocol, which, right. You know, without reading the I think it's like 13 graphs that they, you know, go through.
That's what I was going to ask you. I saw you post chart. The protocol. I thought you ran through it, and I was
like, yeah. So essentially, like, what it seems to be is if a concussion is identified,
does it have to be identified the same night? That's what I was wondering.
It seems like it. So it seems like, well, if it isn't identified that same night, what'll happen is like 24 hours later, if you're still showing clear symptoms, then they'll retest you and they'll go back and they're like, hey, if you've been having concussion symptoms for 24 hours now, you probably had a concussion, right?
Okay.
But if it is, you know, labeled a concussion that night, you have 24 hours to not show any symptoms. So,
right.
You know, dizziness, any kind of sensibility to light, any of that stuff, which, you know, would still make some room here for AD to, if he is put into the concussion protocol, potentially get cleared before game six, as it is 48 hours later. But that timeline is close, and look, like, I want to be clear. The most important thing here is if AD has a concussion, that it is properly looked after. That is the most important thing. Like I said earlier, knowing what we know about the long-term effects of concussions, that if this guy actually did have his bell rung, that it is like the most important thing is making sure that he's okay moving forward. But then beyond that, though, like if you're getting into the technicalities of the situation, the next 24 hours are going to be really important to monitor because, you know, we saw him walking off of the court and he kind of like wobbled a little bit, you know, as he was walking to the bench. He gets to the bench. And like they were talking about, like maybe he poked his eye and he's like clearly holding his like temples right and he's like holding his head. I remember that. That shit sucks. And then, you know, putting the towel over his head, what you're doing there, like subconsciously, is just trying to narrow like the number of things that your eyes have to focus on because refocusing actually hurts. I don't know if you've ever had a concussion. But like, yeah, that's the stuff that's going on there. And if you're trying to, you know, get him ready and available to play, essentially what's going to happen is the Lakers team doctors are going to very closely monitor him. They have to stay in constant contact with the league. The league, I believe, are going to have their own doctors kind of step in and also take a look at it as well. Warriors team doctors were actually there, and that's part of the protocol too.
Right.
Just as a checks and balances system here. So, like, if AD goes and yeah, there is a lot of funny business here with team and even league doctors. There is some funny business. So, but like to the extent of what the NBA can control, if AD plays on in game six, he will, you know, be ready for game six is I think, like, without getting too conspiratorial, if he goes, it's because he was cleared to go.
Yeah, you don't mess around with this stuff. The NBA, as they should, are very strict with concussion protocols. You know, I don't remember when, but I'm sure there's been players who missed playoff games for it and all that stuff. So yeah, it's a serious thing. You know, people online for some reason have joked about CTE for some reason, especially with, like, whenever someone says something weird, they bring up CTE.
It's the weirdest thing.
In terms of a joke for some strange reason. But yeah, that's nothing to play with. Anthony Davis's health is first and foremost. And I don't know if you saw the video, Anthony, but Dave McMenamin tweeted out AD walking out of the building. So he looked, again, I'm not a doctor's analysis, but at least it was good to see him walk off on his own accord, at least, and walk out of the arena by himself, not needing assistance. So hopefully that's, you know, a good sign to come. But yeah, to your point, he'll be checked out. I'm sure there'll be a ton of, you know, checks throughout. And good thing that the travel is not too bad. It's not like a 4-hour flight, like it's from Memphis. I believe it's like an hour flight from San Francisco. Yeah. So yeah, you have some time here, and hopefully he's good. But to your point, yeah, it's AD's health, most important thing going forward.
Yep. Again, final score here, 121 to 106 as the Lakers lose game five and now have a 3-2 lead over the Golden State Warriors. Game six, Friday night, back in moneylaunderingarena.com or moneylaundering.com arena. Got to get that right. and then, yeah, we, you know, it's game seven. So as of right now, the plan is I'm going to finish the show, record a lowdown, and then have a show to preview game six. And then Friday night gets a little tricky because I'm out of town. So I'm going to try to bring my laptop and my equipment with me as best I can and try to record right after the game. But rest assured, if the Lakers take care of business and win in game six, that Raj and I will be right here to recap that and send you into what will be a nice, hopefully a nice celebratory weekend for all of us as we wait for the winner of Denver and Phoenix. But
I'll drink. If they win game six, I'll make sure to have a drink
on the show. Like, because of where I'm going to be, I'm going to have alcohol in my system. So just got to match that energy. But until then, and until the next time you guys hear from me, I'm Anthony Irwin. That was Raj Sripalu. This was the Lakers Lounge. Talk to you guys soon.